The following program is brought to you in living color.
Then a toast, my love, my dearie, to our Merry Christmas. God bless us.
God bless us, everyone.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's the Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for the Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
It's a party. Come on, it's Christmas Eve. Lighten up a little bit. Like, we are going to need champagne for 250 people, and please send the stuff that you send to me. Don't send the stuff that I send to other people.
Welcome to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape in all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine but were afraid to ask. That's what we're here for. We are your media resource for everything about that adorable, festive, rotund, happy little grape. And in case you hadn't guessed, yes, we are off and rolling on our Christmas show. We decided that we're going to celebrate a little bit early and help you get ready for this wondrous holiday season. Can't you look festive? You look happy.
I'm just looking at my present here that you got me. This is very nice of you.
Well, you're big on making lists.
Yeah.
You're always making lists of something. Well, actually, list of a whole bunch of things you should be doing besides paying attention to the
right,
crush.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So I figured that might actually come in handy.
This is, it says Wise Up. It's a book called, it's a bathroom reader. You thought of me when you thought of the bathroom. How nice of you.
Very, very funny. That's I thought of nice. You when I saw the list making.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. So there are lists here?
List of all kind of famous, interesting things.
It's cool.
It's full of all kind of different facts, great list in history. And somewhere in there, I believe there's some list about alcohol and wine.
No kidding.
See if you can take some time to find that.
Okay, I will do that. I will do that. And thank you very much.
Merry You're Christmas. Welcome. But see, this is what came from last week's show, was the idea that, okay, what do you give people for Christmas? What are your shopping plans? How can you give people things that relate to wine but don't necessarily overwhelm them? I found the perfect gift for Kent. He can dig through the book and maybe learn something about wine since he doesn't listen to The Crush on a regular basis. So this way, I feel like I've accomplished my goal, but in a very subtle fashion. So
that's kind of the thing you do. You look for a way to get to people, right?
Subtly.
And you get to people every time you're on the air.
That is my hope. I hope I reach out and touch somebody.
That's right. You do.
Yes. A slap, touch, whatever, you know, whatever happens to work that way.
Kind of bop upside the head.
Yes. Well, last week, of course, we covered the idea of buying gifts for people. And today, we're going to have a little more help with that. We have Alder Yarrow. He is the man behind Vinography.com. He's going to give advice on giving gifts to wine lovers. I think that will be a little bit counterpoint to what I was giving last week. So hopefully he'll have a very unique perception on things. But as I listened back to last week's show, it gave me really the impetus for the next two shows. And we talk about what do we give for our friends? What do you get for your bosses? What do you get for clients this time of year? But has anyone really ever sat back and thought, what should I get the wine world? What could I give the wine world to make it a better place? So for the next couple of shows, that's what I'm going to focus on. I'm going to be totally selfless, and I'm going to think of what we should give back to the whole wine world that would make all of our life experience when it comes to wine better. So we'll be covering that topic as we get through it. But before we do that, of course, we have to do our wine recommendations. And this time of year, it always gets a little bit dicey. Everyone expects me to recommend champagne, and we're going to do an entire show on champagne. You know me. I can't stay away from the bubbles. But when you start planning for festivities, you start planning for what's going on at your house or where you're going, you need to have some standbys, or you need to have some things that just really stand out and look, I don't know, presentable. When I say presentable, they're clean package, they're great in the bottle, and people are comfortable with them. So the white wine recommendation I'm going to give for this year is going to be one I believe I've recommended in the past, but the wine is just so consistent and it's so outstanding. There's just really not as good of a product made in the United States as this one. Chateau Ste. Michel makes a product called Eroica Riesling. And Eroica Riesling, it's always in the 90s and all the wine publications. It always gets the great press. But coming from Washington State, this wine is just, it's truly a delicacy. And I've talked about Moscatos this year, and I've discussed sweeter wines. But this is a Riesling that's not overly sweet. It has a very dry, residual effect on your palate. It has great floral notes. It has great fruit notes. It's just in harmony all the way through. So whether you're doing ham, whether you're doing turkey, whatever you're serving on your table for Christmas or Christmas Day, whatever you're serving at your parties, Awoika Riesling is bound to make everyone happy. From the true wine aficionado to good Aunt Mary who doesn't drink anything, this is the one that will be a crowd pleaser. Something else to take in consideration, it is not the usual high alcohol white wine that I recommend. So for those of you who are going somewhere where you don't want to be for Christmas, it won't slip up on you, say, like Laura's Chardonnay would. So Awoika Riesling from our friends at Chateau St. Michel is your white wine recommendation. Now, your red wine recommendation, I know everyone out there is expecting me to pull a Donna Estates out of my hat and do something really big and robust and expensive. But honestly, no, I'm going to go with one of the biggest crowd pleasers out there. And I'm going to recommend this wine just so you know that it's everybody likes it. No matter what you hear about against it, no matter what people talk about and say it's plebeian, it's everywhere. I want to give you a piece of advice. When you hear someone say that a wine is everywhere, you need to try something different, you ought to sit back and take a pause and wonder, well, gee, if the wine is everywhere, if it's in all the grocery stores, if it's in all the mega marts, if it's in all the box stores, if it's in all the restaurants, doesn't that mean that somebody is drinking it and most people like it? So my red wine recommendation for the week is Kendall Jackson Vintner's Reserve Cabernet Sauvignon. Ultimately, this wine makes everybody happy. It goes back to exactly what I said about Awoika. Whether you're a wine aficionado, whether you are just starting to like red wine, it's soft, it's ready to drink, it has a nice tannin structure. Let's face facts, Jess Jackson has the properties to make exceptional wine. And this wine, year in, year out, it's consistent, it's good, and it's a crowd pleaser. So your red wine for the holidays, Kendall Jackson Vintner's Reserve Cabernet Sauvignon, and of course, Awoika Riesling for those of you who want something a little bit on the sweeter side. So there are your two wine recommendations as we go into the holiday season. Now, that actually is going to lead me off into my list of things that I wish, in my presence, I would love to give the wine business for this year. The first thing is, and this goes out more to sommeliers, this goes out more to my wine store friends, the people who actually are selling wine to the consumer. My gift to the wine business would be for those of you who are in the position to influence the consumer to quit doing two things. Number one, talking our friends out of sweet wine. And number two, telling people that they don't need to drink a Kendall Jackson or a Gallo or a Sonoma-Cutrer because it's everywhere, that they need to try something different. So for those of you who are paying attention and can influence a consumer's buying habit, if they come in and they want a white Zinfandel, if they want a Moscato, if they're looking just for a sweet wine, or if they're looking for one of the big names that help make California wine what it is, quit steering them away to another brand. Those of you who decide when someone comes in and wants Kendall Jackson Cabernet that you can change their world by suggesting another brand, why are you doing that to them? If they know what they want, they picked out what they like, let them drink what they want. So in summation, that is my gift. That is the first gift I would like to give the wine business. Let people drink what they want. Let them drink what they ask for. Let them drink what they're comfortable. It doesn't mean that they have to stay that brand or that varietal for the rest of their life. It just means if that's their comfort food, if that's what they want to do, there's nothing wrong with it, and quit making people feel like that.
That should be everybody's New Year's resolution this year. Stay out of everybody's wine business. Keep your nose on your own face.
Or quit whining about other people's business.
There you go. Something like
however that. However you want to look
something
both
like
ways
that.
Of it.
Yeah.
No, but ultimately, Kent, you're learning to drink wine. But This goes out to people like you. You've been surrounded by wine. God knows you hear a lot of recommendations. You have a lot of knowledge, whether you acknowledge it or not. But if you decide that you want white Zinfandel or you want La Crema Chardonnay, and you go to a restaurant and you go to a wine store and you say you want this, how many times has someone tried to talk you into something else?
No. Or you get the wine snobs. And what I like to do sometimes is I'll go to like an Olive Garden.
Okay.
And I have the house wine, whatever they're serving that day. I might have a little bit of that. And everybody who knows about wine says, oh, that's nothing. They have nothing but swill over there. You don't want to drink that wine. And I just think, I like it. It's good. Served chilled. Very nice. It goes nicely with my meal. Why should anybody else care what I'm drinking?
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Now, ultimately, would I like to teach you to appreciate more wine? It's the only reason I want you to learn about more wine is because there may be more out there that you like.
Mm-hmm.
But if you like the house wine at Olive Garden, what's to keep you from drinking the house wine at Olive Garden? You're drinking wine, you're enjoying it, and it's no one else's business to tell you it's swill or not. And for the people that are telling you it's swill at Olive Garden, when you look at Darden Group, that's who own Olive Garden, They have a master sommelier that takes care of all the wine needs for all those different properties. You can rest assured if you're drinking something at Olive Garden, it's not swill. It didn't fall off the back of a truck. It's not someone that someone hand stopped and turned a spigot on. Mm-hmm. It's going to be good. So once again, there is my first gift, and obviously Kent definitely votes with me as our gift to the wine business, and I like the way Kent put it. Keep your nose out of other people's wine business. If they come in and they want the house wine from Olive Garden or they want a bottle of Kendall Jackson Cabernet, let them have what they want. It'll make them happier. Hey, stick around here on The Crush. We have our guest coming up, Alder Yarrow, to give us some more ideas on gift giving for the holiday season.
Check out winecrush.com for weekly wine recommendations, recipes, blogs, and news items.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-695-7442. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-695-7442. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus two free extras. Call 1-800-695-7442. 1-800-695-7442. 1-800-695-7442.
If your car is less than 10 years old and has less than 100,000 miles on it, your car will eventually break down and you'll need to go to your local repair shop. And we all know dealing with these guys can be very expensive. A new transmission can cost over $3,000, a new engine more than $3,500, new air conditioning can cost over $1,700, and a new water pump more than $600. You need to call the Auto Protection Network. We're like insurance to protect the inside of your car. We'll save you thousands on costly repair bills. Don't let your car break down without a warranty. Protect yourself from expensive repair bills. If your car has less than 100,000 miles on it and it's less than 10 years old, call today for a free customized quote. 800-477-6061. 800-477-6061. 800-477-6061. 800-477-6061.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Oh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking.
Hmm.
You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing. You're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know, I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It's a marshmallow world in the winter when the snow comes to cover the ground.
This is the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and we are celebrating Christmas here at the Crush, and we have some help to do that right now. We have Mr. Alder Yarrow of Vinography.com joining us. Alder, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Thanks, Laura.
It is a delight to have you on here. I have enjoyed your blog for a while. You definitely have some interesting insights, and I like the sharpness that you take your perspective with the wine business, so I figured you'd be a perfect guest for today's show.
I'm super pleased to be here.
Well, obviously, I wanted you on the show because you recently wrote a blog about advice on giving gifts to wine lovers, and I loved your perspective on it. But just to give you, so I don't blindside you at the very end, we are doing today's show with the idea of gifts we'd love to give the wine business. So as we get toward the end of your segment, I want you to let me know what gift you could give the wine business for 2011 that would make you happy. But in the meantime, as long as we are talking about gifts, you mentioned in a recent blog that you had great ideas about what to give the wine lover and what to give as gifts for Christmas. Would you care to enlighten our listeners on some of the great things that you came up with?
Well, the first thing that I tried to make very clear is that there's a big difference between giving a gift to a wine lover that you know really, really well and one that you don't know well. And it's probably easier for me to address the one that you don't know very well very quickly, which is to say, don't get them wine. One of the things about wine lovers is that we can be quite particular and very passionate.
No, we are not passionate. We are not particular. And we're never snobby. Ever.
We may not be snobby, but we do know what we like. And, you know, anybody who's, the example I use is any woman who's ever gotten a piece of jewelry from her husband or from a boyfriend that, was given with great thoughtfulness but really wasn't something that they'd ever wear knows something a little bit about the way a wine lover who gets a wine that they would never drink.
Are you kidding? My husband won't even give me wine. He sure as hell knows not to give me jewelry.
Yeah, so the idea is, you know, if you know someone really well and you know their wine tastes very well and what would really make their eyes light up, you know, of course, wine is a wonderful gift for wine lovers. But if you don't know them that well, I really don't suggest giving them a bottle of wine, as well as, you know, a lot of the other accoutrements, you know, that come with the wine lover's lifestyle. You know, you never know how many corkscrews somebody has unless you know them really well. And, you know, last thing you want to do is get them, you know, a wine refrigerator when they already have one. So if you don't know the wine lover very well, you know, stick to things like, you know, gift certificates at their favorite wine store or, you know, maybe a wine book or something like that. But I think if you do know the wine lover well, you know, there's all sorts of really great things that you can give people, you know, from very specific books that are geared to their interest. You know, one of the things that I know is I got a lot of friends whose wine collections have overspilled their relatively limited simple racks, you know, that they have in their houses, and so getting them a rack or even a wine fridge can be a wonderful gift if you're looking to get something a little more expensive. Something inexpensive can be a nice decanter if you happen to know that they don't have one, or a really great set of wine glasses if they always break and people are often need more if you know what particular kinds of glasses that they tend to prefer.
But see, that's the key right there. If I can go back to your one, a lot of people over the years have given me glasses because they've been terrified to give me wine. So, you know, sure. See previous segment, even my husband doesn't give me wine. But if you're going to give glasses to people, make sure they're glasses. They don't need to have pretty palm trees painted on them. We don't want little grapes painted on them. We don't want little designs painted on them. And I have to admit, Alder, I do like your idea of giving a good friend glasses, but I have to admit, one of my best girlfriends, I entertain a fair amount at my house, and we are, I won't say we overindulge, but we do drink a fair amount, and if several glasses aren't lost over the night as casualties to people being exuberant with talking with their hands, then it hadn't been a really good party. So one of my girlfriends gave me 2 dozen wine glasses, and I have to admit, I stopped and I took pause on it, and I thought, gosh, does this mean she hates my wine glasses? It bothered me for 2 weeks. So you always have to be careful with giving that gift as well.
You really do, and you really need to know the kind of glasses that somebody uses and wants. Anything that has any sort of enameled palm tree or grape or any other decoration on it is completely out of line.
I will say that one of the neatest gifts I got, because I was bragging one day about blind tasting and about red and white, just for meanness, one of my customers got me a set of black wine glasses, totally black. And just for meanness, he decided, okay, next time you're going to do a blind tasting, you need to sit down and pour white in one, red in the other, mix them up and see if you can tell the difference without looking at the color. That was really one of the biggest challenges I had ever dealt with.
That's a great gift for a super wine geek. I mean, you'd really have to know that somebody was really into and excited about learning about wine to give them that. But that's a very unique and great gift for somebody who's, you know, maybe studying for the Master Sommelier exam or at least living their life like they might be.
Yes, frustrating if nothing.
For sure.
All right, well, sorry to keep interrupting. Please continue.
Another thing that I didn't buy myself for some time, but that, you know, was great when somebody finally, you know, got me one was a rabbit corkscrew. I have a, you know, bunch of different kinds of corkscrews, and, you know, these days I tend to open an awful lot of wine in the course of reviewing it, and somebody finally said, good God, you're still opening wine bottles with one of those waiter friend corkscrews? Here, you know, have a rabbit. And I said, oh, yeah, I've heard those are great, and they really are. If you know somebody that drinks a lot of wine that doesn't have one of those corkscrews, they're great. You know, they open a bottle in a jiffy, you know, they're very well made, and they can make a great gift.
Yes, it's very hard. I think I've used I'm over the manufacturer's limit. I think it says something like it's good up to 3,000 bottles, and mine is still going strong.
Yeah, I'm now onto my second rabbit.
Ah, there we go.
After that one, man, I don't know. I lost count at, you know, several thousand bottles for sure.
But looking back and looking at all the different gifts that you've recommended or things you don't, one thing you did mention is, you know, it might be a good idea to get a book. Do you have any kind of go-to books that you like to give people, with fiction, nonfiction? Do you give them encyclopedias? How do you look at that perspective of the business?
Well, again, you know, this is something that it really helps if you know the person well, and obviously you never want to get somebody a book that they already have. You know, if people are more casually into wine and they're enthusiasts but not like serious wine geeks or lovers, you know, where they might not use a reference book, there are a lot of really great books just sort of about either the wine lifestyle or something like that. I mean, a perennial favorite of mine has been Kermit Lynch's The Adventures on the Wine Route. You know, which is a book that I read very early on in my exploration of wine that really just sort of inflamed my passion for wine. And it's a wonderful story of Kermit Lynch sort of exploring and getting to know the different sort of obscure regions of France.
And that actually is an interesting series all the way around because it gives perspective, it gives knowledge, but also has a great sense of humor with it.
Absolutely. It's beautifully written, but you learn a lot. Really.
You do, while you're going through it. Hey, Alder, we got to take a quick break right here. Do you mind hanging around till after the break, and we'll continue this conversation?
I'd love to.
All right, quick break here on The Crush. When we return, we will pick up right where we left off with gift ideas.
What's your gym membership costing you? Do you even use it anymore? If you're looking to save some money and still stay in great shape, then here's a great offer from Total Gym. I have one. I use it every day. It's easy to set up. There's no weights to move around. I work out in 15 minutes a day, and I stay in great shape. And the best part is I don't have to leave my home to get a full intensive workout. So my friends at Total Gym want to make it real easy for you to get started. Pick up your cell phone right now, and you can try Total Gym risk-free for 30 days for just $49.95, and shipping is free. Save yourself some money while you stay in great shape. Ditch your gym membership. Order a Total Gym risk-free. You don't like it? Return it in 30 days. Call 800-385-3169, 800-385-3169, 800-385-3169, 800-385-3169.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beach? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air. Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn upon the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Right now we have the pleasure of speaking with Mr. Alder Yarrow of Vinography.com. Alder, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, thank you for hanging out. Well, before the break, we've been talking about books and different ideas, and I do like Kermit Lynch's series. I think one of my favorite gifts to give people who are just getting in the wine business is Billionaire's Vinegar, just because it gives some insight into the business. Plus, it's just a great read. Plus, that way you don't offend anybody if they already have the book.
Yeah, no, that's very high on my list. Another one that I really enjoy is the book Love by the Glass by Dorothy Gator and John Brecker. Do you know that one?
I do.
Yeah, so that's just it's a wonderful love story memoir of 2 wine critics and how they fell in love, but also how they fell in love and got to know wine. And especially it's great for people who are just starting out and really sort of exploring their own passion for wine.
God knows we all have to be passionate. That or we're insane. They're going to lock us up one way or the other. Well, thinking about all these wine gifts, what is the worst wine gift you've ever received?
Oh, good Lord. Somebody once gave me one of those really fancy pants wine serving sets that comes with those little felt things that you're supposed to put around the neck of the wine bottle to stop the wine drips, which, you know, is about the most useless wine accessory I could possibly think of.
I would have to concur. Once again, it goes back to know your audience before you do that.
Exactly. You know, and they say the thought that counts, and it really did count, but those went straight into the garbage.
Yes, unfortunately, I think we all have our closet, just like what you have, the island of misfit toys. We all have that little island in our house of misfit wine products.
Yeah.
Well, to get off the topic, obviously, for our listeners, if you want to get more of Alder's opinion on what he would like to give giving gifts for wine lovers, go to vinography.com. Is that correct?
Yep. Yeah, and I think the story is still somewhere out there on the first page.
All right. And, of course, the link will be on the Wine Crush website. So, Alder, before we took a break, I told you if there was anything that you would like to give the wine business in 2011, if you could give one gift back to the wine community, what would it be?
I would give them the Declaration of Freedom from Wine Critics Everywhere.
I like it.
We are living in an age where people like me are setting up their own websites and getting out there and offering our opinions, considered and sometimes ill-considered, about wine. And there are so many different options for people who are looking to get turned on to great wine that the age of the hegemony of just a few, you know, high and mighty wine critics like the Wine Spectator and Robert Parker is essentially over. A lot of younger people who are just getting into wine don't pay any attention to them anyway. And so wineries that have for a long time felt like their fortunes were tied to whether they got that 90-plus point score from one of those wine critics, I think that age is over and that they should concentrate on making great wine that they believe in, and you know, the word will get out and people will come.
I could not agree with you more. I think there was a time probably 15 years ago where there was almost a need for the scores, to give people an idea of how things measured up, or to give people an idea of to branch out from the Blue Nun or the Carlo Rossi or their jug wines. Mm-hmm. But I think now we are so far past that. There's so many new wineries out there. And you find now that a lot of these great wineries refuse to even submit their wines to Parker or the Spectator or the Enthusiast to get rated, that they're totally missed by people who only go by the ratings. I think that we have finally seen the dusk falling on the critic situation. But how does someone, you know, obviously you have a blog out there, I have a radio show. How does someone right now who wants to find a wine that, well, maybe they aren't comfortable about knowing what's accepted or comfortable with their palate, without looking at the critics, how do you recommend these people finding something to drink, something that you deserve or that deserves the recognition? How do they go about finding that, if not for the scores?
Well, there's so many ways to do that. I mean, first of all, you can Google anything, right? Most of us have a computer in our pockets most of the time. So when we're standing in a wine store, all you have to do is punch it into Google, and invariably you'll get somebody who has something to say about that wine. But, you know, if you happen to be standing in a wine store, my recommendation is always to talk to the people who actually work there, you know, heaven forbid, and tell them the kinds of things that you like and that you don't like. You know, if all you can give them is that you like red better than white, so be it. But if you can tell them a specific wine or a specific grape that you've liked in the past, that person's entire job and entire existence is to take that information and be able to say, oh, you know, you ought to check this out. You know, you might like this, you might like this. And then the key is to take their recommendation, take it home, drink it, go back, and tell them what you thought. No holds barred. And they'll say, oh, okay, great, you didn't like that one. Oh, you really like this one. And it only takes a couple times of that before that person really knows your taste and can turn you on to just some fabulous wines that you've never had before.
What I think is great about that, too, is going back to what we were discussing about the critics, today's wine shop steward, the person who's working in those wine stores, 9 out of 10 times, they're working towards some kind of degree with sommelier, some kind of hotel restaurant degree, or they have read up and studied. The people who are working in wine stores today are doing it because they're passionate about it, because they enjoy it. It's not because their dad necessarily owns the store, because they couldn't find anything else to do, or they wanted to sell liquor. They actually are starting to love wine, and I love that about this next generation. Do you agree or disagree?
I completely agree. I mean, I can't tell you when I was first getting into wine how many sort of equivalents of the 7-Eleven store clerk I would run into in a wine store, right, where the person could give a rip about what they were doing. It was just a job. These days, wine is really a passion for so many more people, and there are people competing to get these jobs. And even if they're not studying for a good degree or hoping to become a sommelier someday, they're there because they really love wine. And they're, you know, the greatest part of their day is getting to share that passion with people who walk in looking for something new to drink.
Absolutely. I remember 10 years ago, wine stores, when they were looking for somebody to work, would come to me and say, hey, do you know someone who's breathing? I need a body. I need a body for the holidays. Let me hold a mirror under their mouth and see if it actually fogs up, and I'll hire them. And now, 10 years later, they have a list 10 miles long of people who just want to come in and help for the holidays in hopes to moving on further in the wine business as a whole.
Absolutely.
Well, I love the way you view things, and I do firmly agree. In fact, part of what these next two shows are about, or what my gifts would be back to the wine community, and one of the big ones that's on my list, you have just spoken. You've stolen one of my gifts from me. That's not fair.
Oh, well, I look forward to hearing about all the others.
Well, we are certainly going to have fun with it. What can we expect from Vinography.com in 2012? What kind of interesting roads are you going to be going down?
Well, I'll continue to do my thing. As you know, it's not my full-time job, so I squeeze it out in dribs and drabs when I can. But I'm looking forward to how the 2011 harvest, which was a little bumpy in California, how that ends up turning out. I think some people are going to make really great wine, and others may have some challenges. And the springtime is when a lot of the big wineries in Napa start releasing their latest vintages. So I'll be up in Napa covering all the new big Cabernets from the 2010 and 2011 vintage.
Well, outstanding. Well, you and I will definitely have to stay in touch because I certainly like your perspective. Alder, thank you very much for being part of the Crush, and I look forward to talking to you in 2012.
Great pleasure, and absolutely.
All right. Hey, we're going to take another quick moment here on the Crush. When we return, we will get more ideas on what we'd love to give the wine business for 2011.
Visit winecrush.com for guest information, wine recommendations, and more. This is the Wine Crush.
Is the IRS knocking on your door for back taxes? Are you being threatened with bank levies or wage garnishments? Let us negotiate with the IRS for you. It's a lot easier. We deal with the IRS every day, so you don't have to. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, or you haven't filed in a while, pick up your cell phone and call now for free information. We have experts standing by right now who know the tax codes and know the secrets to settle your back taxes for less. If you qualify, we'll explain to you how we may be able to settle your taxes for less than what you currently owe. So call today for your free evaluation. Remember our motto, if you can't pay your back taxes, call now, see if you can pay less. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, call Alpha Tax now for free advice on how you can pay less.
800-961-3631, 800-961-3631, 800-961-3631, 800-961-3631.
Dad?
Yeah, buddy?
Do coyotes eat people?
No.
Do wolves eat people?
Come with me. Bring your stuff.
Good night, Dad.
Good night, buddy.
The 2012 Chevy Silverado, the most dependable, longest-lasting full-size pickups on the road. From getting outdoors to getting indoors, Chevy runs deep.
Dependability based on longevity, 1981 through July 2010, full-size pickup registrations.
Designer and car builder Carol Shelby knows cars.
I have a passion for cars.
Carol Shelby recommends Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This stuff really works. It penetrates the metal.
Add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It cleans internal components, delivers a cleaner fuel system, extends engine life, and improves engine performance.
Z-Max is going to give it a longer life and improve the performance.
Z-Max, available at auto parts stores and at zmax.com.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you'll realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be.
They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
I'm Laura Lawson. This is The Wine Crush. Special thank you to Alder Yarrow, Vinography.com, for those of you who liked his opinions, the way he looked at things. Of course, a link to his website and his blog will be on the Wine Crush website. So we encourage you to go to our site and check out what he has to say. And of course, as always, on the Wine Crush website, you can go back through our older shows, see our archives, and of course, send an email to me, Laura Lawson at WineCrush.com, or of course, call Kent 877-4-CRUSH-1 and let us know what you would like to give the wine business for 2011. What would your gift to the business be? Now, Kent, I noticed you very much giggling when Alder said his declaration of freedom from the critics.
I like that.
You do.
I actually like that. I wonder if there's a place really for critics in a lot of things anymore. With the advent of the internet and a lot of other things too, with information flying around us, do we really need to know what one person thinks?
Well, I think that's kind of what we're founded on. We're hoping that the reason why people are listening to Wine Crush is because they care about what I think or what I'm trying to relay. But ultimately,
but you're not a critic. You're a, you pass along information.
I'm a disseminator. The way I look at it,
right.
If you can look at it from a that
regurgitator,
point of view.
Yes, you are.
Aren't you cute today? Get in there, put your book down. Anyway, I do agree with Alder. The time for the critic, I do believe, has passed, and especially as recent news stories reflect on the fact there are some less than clean images that are falling on some of our critics. But it does bring up a very interesting point, and this is the second gift that I would love to give the wine business for 2011. What Alder mentioned is the fact, and of course Kent just mentioned this as well, being able to go on the internet, being able to Google something and have everything right there at your fingertips. But something to consider is that once you Google something, you can pull up anything. You know, you might be fortunate enough to land on Alder's blog, or you might be fortunate enough to land on the Wine Crush website. But what if you just wind up on some random person's internet site who just has a grudge against a winery? There's no way to truly filter the information. So the second gift I would give to the wine business would be a good, non-biased website that is accurate for wine education and information. Think about it. If I type in Cahors right now, I'm going to get 2,282 hits. If I type up Cahors wine region, it's going to take it to 200,000 hits. I need something that will give me a complete, instant information. It would be neat to be able to know that, okay, that LawsonWine.com, if I went on it, would be just facts. It wouldn't be supposition. It wouldn't be opinion. I know we look at Wikipedia and we look at things like that, but ultimately,
yeah, Wikipedia for wine.
But when you look at Wikipedia, if you go down all the way to the bottom, it gives you sources on where it came from. And also at the very bottom of it, if you would like to add to this entry, please submit it. So anywhere on Wikipedia, you can add to the entry. We've had fun some nights adding to the entry on Wikipedia. It's not necessarily healthy. And so that's what I'd like, whether you look at it as a reference point, whether you look at it as an encyclopedia, somehow there needs to be just one cohesive website that's not advertising wine for sale, that's not saying you need to buy this, that's not judging wines, it's not rating wines, it's not giving an opinion, just the facts, ma'am. I mean, you're a big old TV fan. What was that?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that was Dragnet.
Dragnet, thank you.
Yeah.
So that is a gift that I would like to give to the wine business. For all you gurus out there who are stopping and thinking and looking how to make your $1 million, I just handed it to you. Wikipedia wine, knock it out, get it done, and give us a great reference point so that at some point I don't have to keep up with my new volume of Sotheby's, my new volume of Robeson. I don't have to keep up with my Parker journals. I don't have to keep up with everything. I know that I can go on the website and everything is right there because ultimately my bookshelves are getting awful heavy. And I'm tired of trying to keep up with all this. It's like having the Encyclopedia Britannica, which my mother still has from 1967. And I swear, if we bring up a wine question, she will go downstairs and she will pull the encyclopedia from 1967 and argue with me.
My parents still have the World Book Encyclopedia 1964 edition. Can you imagine what's changed since 1964?
See, it'd be interesting to see what hasn't.
Yeah.
So, see, you may have a collector's item.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it's great to know that's the foundation of the base of your knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So we know how to challenge you now.
My knowledge is almost 50 years old.
Yes. All right, so that's my second gift to the wine world. My third one is a little strange because I have advocated against this. My third gift would be truth in labeling laws for the United States. Now, stop. I don't want you to go ahead, dial the phone, and start arguing with me. I'm not talking about the calorie content. I'm not talking about ingredient content. I am talking about truth in labeling, that if it says Vintner's Reserve on the bottle, that that means something. If it says old vines on the bottle, that the definition of old vines means the vines have to be more than 10 years old. If it says reserve, it means that it had to see some time in cask. It had to see some time in a warehouse. I think we have gotten too far off the mark in our freedom of press that the wine business in California has gotten very confusing. There's no set way. I can go buy five different Zinfandels. All five Zinfandels will say Old Vine Zin on the bottle. The average age of those vines can be 3 years, 5 years, or some of them are being honest and they're 20 years. I think it's valuable for the consumer to be able to pick out what's truly old, what's not. Same thing with reserve wines. I love the fact that whether you're looking at Washington State and their laws, to say reserve, it actually has to be less than 1% of the production from the WWQA Alliance. I think that's brilliant. I think the whole United States needs to have something like that. I'm tired of the confusion. I'm tired of having to explain that reserve doesn't necessarily mean reserve unless you're talking about everywhere else in the world, and it does make a difference. So, yes, there is my third gift to the wine business in 2011, truth in labeling laws. Let us make it clear. Let us make it understandable. Let's put a standard out there so that the $3.99 bottle of reserve wine does not be equated to the $39.99 bottle of reserve wine that actually is. Kent, you're looking at me like I have three heads.
No, you're right on target. You, amen, sister.
You're
really doing it today. You're nailing everything, I think.
You are reading your book, aren't you?
No, I was reading it earlier.
Okay.
I was reading the section called The Boozery, and I was learning a lot.
Oh, boy. Well, we'll have to let you put your 2 cents worth in after I give another one of my gifts.
Okay.
All right. Now, here's one that I'm not going to go off that far on because I know a lot of people will disagree with me. But another gift I give the wine business for 2011 would be varietal sets for grocery stores and for wine lists. Let me explain what I mean. When I talk about a varietal, obviously I'm talking about Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Cabernet, Cabernet Franc, the type of grape that the wine is made from. A lot of times when you go down your local grocery store shelf or you go down your local Mega Mart shelf or your wine store, you'll see a big section that says Chardonnay. You go into the section named Chardonnay, and you're looking around, and pretty much you'll see wines from California. You'll see wines from Oregon. You'll be seeing wines from Washington State. But all of a sudden, you look over your shoulder, and there's the French section. And you go over to the French section, but all the Burgundies are over there. So in the way these stores are designed and the way they're laid out, they're not teaching anybody anything. If you had a true varietal set in a store and it said Chardonnay, it needs to have Burgundy in it. It needs to have California. It needs to have Washington. It needs to have Australia. Don't break it down by country. Break it down by varietal. This in itself can be used as a teaching tool. So when people call in and say, I'd like a really good Burgundy, and I say, oh, are you a Chardonnay fan? They're like, no, I want Burgundy. We can end this debate once and for all. We're going to take a quick break here on The Crush. When we return, we're going to wrap this up and give you some more ideas of gifts that we would love to see in the wine business in 2011.
Follow host Laura Lawson on Twitter at Wine Crush Radio. This is The Wine Crush.
Designer and car builder Carol Shelby knows cars.
I have a passion for cars.
Carol Shelby recommends Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This stuff really works. It penetrates the metal.
Add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It cleans internal components, delivers a cleaner fuel system, extends engine life, and improves engine performance.
Z-Max is going to give it a longer life and improve the performance.
Z-Max, available at auto parts stores and at zmax.com.
If your car is less than 10 years old and has less than 100,000 miles on it, your car will eventually break down and you'll need to go to your local repair shop. And we all know dealing with these guys can be very expensive. A new transmission can cost over $3,000, a new engine more than $3,500, new air conditioning can cost over $1,700, and a new water pump more than $600. You need to call the Auto Protection Network. We're like insurance to protect the inside of your car. We'll save you thousands on costly repair bills. Don't let your car break down without a warranty. Protect yourself from expensive repair bills. If your car has less than 100,000 miles on it and it's less than 10 years old, call today for a free customized quote. 800-477-6061. 800-477-6061. 800-477-6061. 800-477-6061.
Dad?
Yeah, buddy?
Do coyotes eat people?
No.
Do wolves eat people?
Come with me. Bring your stuff.
Good night, Dad.
Good night, buddy.
The 2012 Chevy Silverado, the most dependable, longest-lasting full-size pickups on the road. From getting outdoors to getting indoors, Chevy runs deep.
Dependability based on longevity, 1981 through July 2010, full-size pickup registrations.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start shopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood.
concrete.
Hi-ya!
Brick walls.
Hi-ya!
Trees.
Hi-ya!
Small cars. It can even chomp through these 8 guitars.
Hi-ya!
It chomps things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Merry Christmas, baby. You sure did treat me nice.
I'm Laura Lawson. This is The Wine Crush. Today we are taking a close look at all the gifts that I would give the wine business for 2011. Of course, Mr. Alder Yarrow from Vinography.com, he gave us the idea of a declaration of freedom from wine critics, which I certainly applaud. I have touched on the idea of a non-biased website that's accurate for information, truth in labeling laws, varietal sets for grocery stores and wine lists, and of course, the idea of our sommeliers and our store owners to let people drink what they want to. The other one I'd like to touch on before we end the show is something that's a message going out to our legislators. It's going out to all of our wineries and all the individual states out there that are making things difficult. There's absolutely no reason in a country this size, in a country where all 50 states are producing wines, that we can't ship across the country to anybody who wants to buy wines. There are still 8 states left in the United States where it's illegal to have wine shipped to someone's house. This is ridiculous. This is antiquated. If I could have anything for 2011 that I could give as a gift, it'd be opening up the shipping laws. We are not going to have this argument again. We are not dealing with teenagers who are sitting there with mom's credit card, wanting their case of Beringer White Zin, ordering it over the internet, and waiting for it to show up. This is a matter of free trade. There's so many great wineries out there that are popping up day in and day out that don't have access to the 3-tier system, that can't get into a distributor, that this is the way they get their wines out. And it's absolutely unfair trade practices to not let them have the access to ship to wherever they want to. I understand perhaps putting quotas on things and putting maximums, but let freedom ring. Let us ship to all 50 states. It is absolutely unfair and ridiculous not to. Well, I hope you've had as much fun today as I have looking at the gifts we give to the wine business for 2011. Of course, the next show, we're going to continue along this track and hope you stay tuned with us and come up with your own gifts for 2011.